So this is kind of fun. Let's see. So today what I'm going to teach on is something that God's been dealing with me. So if God's been dealing with me, that means I had to have been doing this, all right? So today we're going to talk about transformation, all right? Anybody here want to see your life transformed, all right? Anybody have transformer cars? Okay, yeah, all right. Okay. Some of you are like, I don't even know what you mean by transformation. Well, let me give you the Greek word for transformation means metamorpho, which means where we get our word metamorphosis. Okay? And if you were to look up what is metamorphosis, usually the first example they give us is of a caterpillar. Can I have a caterpillar up here? They're going to get one. Okay, so metamorphosis, caterpillars, all right? And anybody know what a caterpillar does? Anybody? Okay. Now, caterpillars are fine, but they're not really pretty. No, that's really... Okay, they're not really pretty, but here's the thing about caterpillars. Something's going to happen to them. All of a sudden, they go through this transformation process, right? And all of a sudden, they turn into a cocoon. Can I see one of those up here? Oh, yeah. That is U-G-L-Y, okay? If you thought the caterpillar wasn't pretty, this cocoon in my book is ugly. Sorry. Okay, just that's how I feel about it. Which really tells us, okay, now let's apply this to us, that tells us that transformation sometimes in our life can feel a little ugly. Don't raise your hand and say, oh, yeah, that's happening to me, okay? But it can feel a little ugly, okay? While you're being transformed into the person God wants you to be. Sometimes it's a little ugly. Sometimes, you know, it just isn't so pretty. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't know Jesus, so do not judge me and throw things at me. But when I was a kid, I got one of those big cocoons, and I was like, what is inside of that? So I cut that thing open. Anybody ever do that? Just me? Oh, my God. By the way, I love when in high school when we dissected the pig and the frog. I love that. But I can't do people. Those things I'm good. I can't do people. But anyway, getting back to this thing. So I cut this thing open, and it had webs, and it was gross, okay? It was gross. There was all sorts of gross stuff in there. It was just ugly, okay? But isn't it amazing? From that gross, ugly cocoon comes a beautiful butterfly. Picture number 3. Yay! Thank you, guys. Is that Thomas back there? Wave at everybody. This is Thomas. Thomas is a senior this year. No? Junior? Oh, I thought you were a senior. It's because you're so tall. Well, we're still going to wave at you. Okay. All right, that's what happens when you know kids since they were in the nursery. You get to do all this, but okay. So today I want to talk about transformation, not so much about butterflies, but what God does in our life. And we're gonna end up over in Romans chapter 12. Now, we're not going there first, but first what I want to talk about is renewing your mind. Right. Now, if you're new to church or you've been here for a couple of decades, okay, the renewing of your mind is a process. Everybody say process. And it never stops. Never stops. Okay? Or at least it should never stop. Some people stop, but the renewing process should not, it never stops, okay? And, it never stops, so I was thinking, God, wouldn't it be so cool if you could just pull out this mind of mine that's got so much junk in it and put a brand new one in there just like that? Wouldn't that be wonderful? I'd already be done with the process, okay? But it doesn't work that way. I would have said, sign me up, I'll take it, but it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. So this transformation is a process. It takes time. Now, somebody said this. I'm going to just steal it out of a book I read. The only thing you can count on in this world is nothing will stay the same. Nothing stays the same. Guess what tomorrow is? Tomorrow's Monday. It changes, okay? Nothing stays the same. Now, think about this, especially when you have little kids or even grandkids. I probably see this more with grandkids, okay? And you haven't seen them in a week or so or whatever, a month, and then they all come over to your house and you're like, oh my gosh, look how tall little Johnny got, right? oh my goodness, look how tall they look, right? Okay, now, if you ask their mom, mom's going to say, no, they haven't gotten tall in a week, you know? Okay, you know why? Because mom sees them every single day. Mom sees them every day, you know? They're looking the same, right? They may be a little dirty and muddier, but they look the same. So the problem with you and I, okay, is we see ourselves like the same every single day. I see myself every single day. Matter of fact, I see the real me every single day. And we can think that nothing's happening, okay? You know that cocoon? There was something happening. But we're looking at ourselves and we're thinking nothing's happening, nothing's happening, nothing's happening. Here, but I want you to know, you may think there's nothing happening, but the day you received Jesus Christ, the day you said, God, I am a mess, I need your son, Jesus, Savior, something big happened on the inside. Anybody have something big happen on the inside of you? The day you received Jesus, okay? And the Bible says that you became a new creature, a new species. You're actually changed on the inside. The real you is a spirit. We are a spirit. I happen to live in this body, and I have a mind, will, and an emotion. But this thing was brand new, complete. Everybody say, I am complete in Christ. Dang, you look good, right? Okay, on the inside here. Okay, now, that's what happened on the inside, the real you. You're this big change here. But how about this? It's not God's will that you only be changed on the inside. It's not God's will. Matter of fact, he wants this that's on the inside to manifest on the outside. If my friend Betty was here, we used to sing a song a long time ago when the dinosaurs roamed the world, and it went like this. Something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, okay, no more. Alrighty. But this is what God wants. Something on the inside, okay? And you can't just stop with ta-da, okay? He wants what's on the inside to start showing up in the physical areas of our life, in all of you, all of you. So where am I over here? Oh, okay. So how do I get something on the inside working on the outside? You have to renew your mind to the Word of God, okay? And that's why you'll see people that got born again, asked Jesus into life, born again 40 years ago, and you go, they're still the same. You got to renew this mind. So something on the inside working on the outside. Okay, you're going to get it. All righty, so you have to do that. Now listen. Just like the transformation of this caterpillar, it took time. It did not happen overnight. And I didn't do the scientific lookup, Google, how long does it take for these things to do it? All right, okay. But it took time, all right? And there are times it looks U-G-L-Y. It looks ugly. Where it feels ugly when we're going through this transformation. Really, somebody might say that about you. I didn't think I looked so ugly in this transformation, but somebody else might say that about you, okay? So, but here's the thing you need to know. God is doing something, and he takes ashes and turns them into beauty, and it's a process. Everybody say it's a process. Amen. Okay, so I want to talk about how we get this change. How do we get this transformation? So, I have lots of scriptures and lots of things I'm going to read you. So it just dawned on me the other day when they put it up, just take a picture. And I was like, I'm sitting here writing this down. I don't know, a little slow on this, that's right. All right, here we go. Number one, write this down. The process of transformation requires your participation. Okay, now, I love to tell you how to do it, but you still have to participate. So I am telling you how to do it, but you play the part, okay? So the process of transformation, okay, going from something on the inside, working on the outside, is you participating, okay? And you cannot be transformed, okay, without participating with God. Now, I participated with the world for a long time. Not a good transformation, okay? So this transformation that we want is you participating with God, all right? And I look back when I accepted Jesus decades ago, okay? And then I look where I am now and I'm going, there is a transformation. There is and there's still continuing a transformation. Anybody else look a little different? Yeah. You know, that's the fun part. You should go to your reunions. I didn't go to my last one because it cost a hunk of money and I didn't know anybody. But anyway, but you really should, especially all you locals, go to your reunions and they should say, wow, girl, you have really changed. Not because you got deep and wide, but because something on the inside working on the outside, and they can tell when they talk to you. So go to your reunions and be the light. Amen? Okay. Turn over to Galatians chapter 4. This whole idea, Miss Wanda, I was like splat on the floor. Every song is the message. I was like, I'm going home. See y'all. Just pay attention to sing it. Just listen to the words. Listen to the words. Okay. So I'm going to say this. This transformation takes place when we surrender. Like every song said surrender. So because God wants to have Christ formed in us. Galatians 4. Christ formed in us. Galatians 4, 19. Okay, find my place. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's in this region, like he's in York County, okay? And he's got all these churches going, and he writes this letter to them. Christians, raise your hand if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. So this letter's also to you. So he's writing to them after one of his visits, and he says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth. He's really talking, he's a guy, he's not birthing no babies, okay? You guys wouldn't make a minute of it, but he's talking about praying. And all those ladies go, yeah, you're right, I know. I see those things where they zap these guys and imitate what childbirth is like, and they're all like whining and crying. Sorry, guys, I'm going to look at the ceiling, just having a good time. Okay, so he's saying, he's praying for them until Christ is formed or birthed, formed in them. Okay. Formed. Listen to what this word means, formed. It means fashioned, shaped, developed. Till Christ is shaped in you, till Christ is formed in you, till Christ is developed in you. I pray this over myself, and I pray this over all of you, probably every morning. Father God, let Christ be formed in them, developed in them. All right? That should be your prayer. Now, the whole goal is you don't just, ta-da, the day you ask Jesus Christ into your life, ta-da, I got it all. It doesn't work that way. It's a process. And I remember years ago, Pastor Sherry and I were talking about designing a t-shirt, and there's some things going on, and we kind of said, our t-shirt should say, mine would be, Mighty Woman of God in the Process. Or Mighty Man of God in the Process. Okay? Christ in you is a process being formed, okay? So instead of, I'll tell you what happened. We were at Six Flags, and it was really not a lot of people, so that, you know how they walk through all those things, you know, and you finally get up front? Well, there's nobody there, so my kids were ducking under, and one of my kids had a Christian t-shirt on, and some lady, I was like, there's fighting words, woman. Okay, some lady had some critical thing to say about my son. Well, you're a Christian. Look what you're doing. I was like, mighty man of God in the making. It was my son who was doing that. But I was like, come on, cut me a break. Okay, anyway, let's get the t-shirt. You know, see, and I actually knew Jesus, so anyway, all right. All right, so this... this is Paul's prayer for us, for you and I, till Christ be formed in you. And it is a process. Okay, so it doesn't happen, all of it, wham, bam, the day you receive Jesus. So, yes, the beginning of the process is I receive Jesus into my life. I become a new creature. I'm born again. I'm a child of God, and I can go on and say that. And then what I want to come up to you and say, so what's next, girl? All right? Don't stop there. What's next? And you should say that to people. So what's next in your life? All right? What's next? All righty? So obviously, because we're talking about renewing your mind, all right? But how about like what's next after I've received Jesus? Around here we'll say, hey, you need to get planted in a grow group. That's a next step. Or better yet, you need to join on a serve team. Get on a serve team around here. That's what's next. Everybody say, what's next? So if I see you just sitting there, I'm going to go up to you and say, hey, what's next? Right? What's next? And then you're going to look at the ceiling, all righty. So what's next? And we're not just going to just promoting, woohoo, you got to do this. But listen, there, y'all, we all, me all, need a community. You need people of like precious faith to surround you, to lift you up. I love that there's a picture a long time of Aaron and Hur holding up Moses. You needed to hold Moses' arms up? Yes! You need a community to help hold you up, all right? And I will tell you, I would not be where I am if it wasn't for God and being planted in a local church and being on every schedule imaginable. Been on the Merry Maids and clean toilets. I have been on the painting crew and the weeding crew, okay? But listen, it's just what helps. Those are all those next steps that keep you going. All right. All right, listen to this. If you're taking notes, jot this down. Transformation is about God doing something in me and me cooperating. Have you ever told a teenager to do something and they ain't a toddler, better yet, a toddler to do something, put your toys away, and they are not cooperating and they're splat on the ground. All right? So transformation, because we want to do this, transformation is about God doing stuff in you. Stuffing in you, but we have to cooperate, right? And, you know, transformation is not you trying to be something. It's about you being who God has created you to be. What has God created you to be? Man, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am holy and blameless, okay? And I could go on the list and we could go home and have lunch, okay? But it's me finding out, actually letting God do what he's put in me, righty? And you know, transformation, I saw this analogy. Transformation is not, oh, cherry tree, I'm going to make it be an orange tree and then it'll be transformed. No, it's not going to happen, okay? But transformation is this cherry tree that I want it to grow to adulthood and mature and start producing fruit, right? Your lives should be producing fruit, okay? Now, it looks different, all righty? Now, maybe you're here and you're like, oh, man, I am not right now looking the way I want to look, being the way I want to look. Everybody go, thank God for mercy. I love the mercy of God. Anybody? I love the mercy of God and the grace of God. So what if you're not looking like what you want to look? Just go, God, I need your mercy and grace in my life. Amen? I remember telling my son, he is going to wear out that prayer on mercy. He would go, you know, something would happen. He goes, Mom, I'm praying for mercy. I'm like, you wearing that one out. Okay? He got better at it. Okay. All righty. So if you're taking notes, write this one down. Our ongoing transformation is about living out in real time. This is real. This is the real every day, okay? That has been secured for all time. I'm going to say it again because it's a lot of words, okay? And I stole this out of a book. But it just went off like lightning, okay? Our ongoing, you know, the process of transformation is about living it out in real time, okay, that has been secured for all time. So here's my question. What has Jesus secured for you? Already secured for you. Somebody yell one out. Place in heaven. Good. Pay attention. Here we go. Okay. This is where, okay. Okay. Listen, he has secured a life that is just majorly different than what religion says and what some churches said. So I was thinking about that, all these things that Jesus has secured for us already, okay? And I was thinking about, I've shared on the authority of the believer. Anybody know about the authority of the believer? All right? What Jesus has given you authority? And I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, you know, that's, duh. That's why he came, to give you authority. Now, yes, he came and for salvation is first, okay? But then he came and delivered you authority, right? Everybody know about their authority? I was just listening to for the last 3 months, you know, I just wear out these things. And I still have CDs, okay, on Creflo Dollars on the authority of the believer. What? CD number 3, you can borrow it in another month because I'm going again. You will pray differently when you know your authority. Okay, I'm off track. That's okay, because I'm so excited about this. Authority. Jesus has given you authority. And when you know your authority, you will pray differently. And he said, he says, you're not going to go pray. I am going to take authority over sickness and disease and poverty and tell it to go. Period. Walk out of the room. Instead of, like every day for 5 hours. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Not now. So I went and got my hair colored and cut. And my girl, she's gotten really thin. And I've known her for now for about 2 years. And I said, hey, you're looking really thin. Are you okay? And I knew some personal things going on. And she said, you know, I went to the doctors and they're going to do a test. And I said, can I pray for you? You ask. Okay. She's like, sure, because she knows me a little bit. So I grab her hand, and I didn't do Father God. I just said, in the name of Jesus, I command this sickness and disease that is causing a wreck in her body to go in the Jesus name, and I thank you for the anointed one that lives in her. I call her the healed, because you called her the healed. And she says, can I give you a hug? I'm like, yep, okay, I got to go. Here's your money. Let's go. Okay. All right, sidetracked. Did I get you hungry about figuring out your authority? Okay, so authority in the Bible, in the New Testament, you'll see the word, they use these two words. Most of the time, they're the same. Authority and power. Power and authority. Okay, everybody know that? Yes, Pastor D. I know that. Okay, and you'll see the word in the Greek, it's called dunamis, is where we get the word dynamite, like power, right? Everybody know that? So authority and power, like dynamite, alrighty? And there's this word that for dunamis, one of the meanings of it is exercising authority. Exercising authority. And everybody uses this example. I tried to come up with another one, but it's just so easy. I get it. It's like the police officer that's standing in the middle of Route 30 because the lights went out, and he stands there and he puts his hand out, and you stop. He has authority. Now, I think he could get mowed over, right? But there's authority. So you stop, okay? You have that kind of authority in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. All right? Okay, another word for authority is, oh, Lord, Greek class I failed. Exousia. Exousia. Okay, good enough. And it means delegated. This is a good one. God gave you authority. He gave you authority. He delegated it to you. Okay, so you are not a loser. You're not failing in life. The devil is not supposed to be stomping all over you. Why? Because you have authority in heaven and earth and under the earth. Roar! You guys are so cute today. Alrighty. Now, the amazing thing is when I teach on this, most likely there'll be a comment. Who does she think she is? What does she think she have authority? What is she, some arrogant thing? That's not arrogance. I'm telling you, I'm talking about God gave me authority, and I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to declare it. I'm going to do it. Okay? So, the day you received Jesus Christ, you became a believer. You became a child of the Most High God. At that point, he gave you authority. So what are your guns? Come on, I got authority, right? All right. Now, I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it, but it has been invested into me the day I became a follower of Jesus Christ. You have authority. Amen. So that really isn't quite on my notes. I don't know where I am, but turn over to Galatians chapter 2. Ah, so. I'll take a sip. Here we go. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2, 20. This is the Apostle Paul that's writing this, and I want you to listen to what he says, because you might think he is a liar. Listen to what he says. I have been crucified with Christ. What? Paul said he was crucified with Christ. Wait a minute. Did you read your Gospels? Was he crucified with Christ? I didn't see him on there. I didn't read about it. Okay. Wait a minute. He wasn't even born again when Jesus was crucified, right? Come on, you all know your Bible, all right? He hadn't accepted Jesus, but go read in the book of Acts. He hadn't accepted Jesus when Jesus was crucified on that cross. And yet he says, whew, ready, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives in me, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is a whole sermon right here, but I'm just going to go, listen, guys. What's Paul saying? The same crucifixion that Jesus had, he said, I have been crucified with him. And when he died on the cross, he took sin and sickness and disease, and it was done. All right? So I was crucified him, and I'm seated with him, and that's another scripture. So moving on, turn over to Romans chapter 12. I told you we'd get there. Romans chapter 12. And this is my question. What does a life of transformation look like? Okay, Pastor D, what does it look like? What does it look like? All right, well, Romans 12, and we're just doing verse 1 in a couple weeks when Sherry and I fight on who's going to be in the pulpit. It's really fun. So we have big arguments. And I'm like, I gave you 1 week. She goes, oh, I need 4 weeks. Oh, yeah, but I got 3 weeks. Okay, so anyway, we'll do Romans chapter 12, verse 2. But today, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren. Raise your hand if you're one of the brethren. You are. And I beg of you in view of all the mercies of God. Romans chapter 11, the chapter before 12, talks about, wow, all that Jesus Christ did for us. So he's going, I beg of you with all the mercies that we just talked about, okay, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members, okay, as living sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. Holy, devoted, consecrated, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent, yeah, service and spiritual worship. All right. Whew. Other translation says until it's formed in worship. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But here, I want to talk about this word sacrifice. Sacrifice. If you know anything about the Old Testament, man, it was bloody. All sorts of sacrifices. We are New Testament. We are living sacrifices, okay? We are living sacrifices. And when you see that word sacrifice there, he wants you to be a living sacrifice. It really is talking about surrender. Okay? There's no blood and guts on the altar, okay? It's you surrendering. Might feel like it some days, right? Okay, it's really talking about surrender, okay? So definition of surrender, they're going to pop this up on the screen. Surrender means to yield to render or deliver up, to give up, to yield to the power of another. Oh, I like that one. To yield to a power of another, to resign to surrender a right, a privilege, or advantage. Guys, we are supposed to surrender to God, right? We're supposed to yield to God. And then when you yield to God, you say, I want your way, God, not my way. So when you're yielding, it's his way, right? Anybody have a problem with that? I do. There are times I'm really struggling with this, okay? But this is what a living sacrifice does. God, I'm yielding to you. Now, guys, we live in a culture on the planet right now, and I'm telling you what they are telling you. God wants you to live any way you want. Well, first off, I wouldn't listen to you if you didn't even know God, and you think you're going to tell me about God things? Come on. What are you, nuts? Okay? So yet we got a culture living on this planet, and they say if you have feelings that make you feel different than what Christians are saying in the Word of God, that's okay. You can do whatever you want. You know where I'm going with this, okay? So I'm going to read you a scripture, okay? And right now, some of you, if you're arguing with me in your mind, hang on. When you hear this scripture, it's going to blow it out of the water, okay? Yes. The world is saying you can live any way you want, right? If you're a girl and you start having feelings that you're a boy, you can just do that. God said it'll be okay. No, all right? Okay, God didn't say you can live any way you want. He is very exact on lots of stuff, and I love it. Oh, he's, okay, moving on, okay. We all have feelings, right? Okay, we all have feelings, okay? But we walk by and not by slash feelings. Feelings are part of, really part of our five senses, okay? Faith is really our sixth sense, okay? And I am going to walk by faith and not by feelings, okay? If I could live by my five feelings, I would not be here today. Last week, I was on the beach. I'd be back on the beach, okay? You can't live, listen, but I've had to surrender my life to God. You too, right? You have to get surrender your life to God. Amen. So, feelings, all right? Okay, surrender, sacrifice, it's like surrender. And surrender, one of the words is to yield. So we all know what yield is, right? Sometimes you have to yield on highways or yield to traffic. Let me tell you about a story when I really figured out yield. Years ago, I'm living in York, New Salem, and I have to go down to Baltimore. So I cut across Leaders Heights Road, and I'm going to get on to 83 South because I'm going to Baltimore. And it's morning. It's really early, and the sun is in my eyes. So I'm in the yield, and I can't see. So I just go on to 83. And next thing I know, woo, 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 lights, and I have to pull over. And I'm like, what? I wasn't speeding this time. What's with this? I know. My secret life is a race car driver, okay? And I get pulled over, and he says, you know, can I have your license and registration? And I say, yes, sir. By the way, Pastor Sherry taught 4 weeks, 5 weeks on honor. The Lord dealt with me, wink, wink, y'all too. I'm not calling him a cop. I'm going to honor the authority. Just saying that, okay? So I go, yes, sir. And he goes, he says, do you know what you got? Why you got pulled over? And I'm thinking, I know I wasn't speeding. And I go, no, sir, I don't know what I was doing. And he says, you did not yield when you came on to 83, and you cut me off and almost killed me. He was irate. And, of course, I blocked that out of my mind if I got a ticket or anything. I don't really remember because it's one of those horror memories, okay? But so we know what yield is. I know what yield is now, okay? So let me tell you a story about my friend Nick. Nick is going down this road sort of like 74, you know, Carlisle Avenue. He's going down this road. He's actually going to church on Sunday, the story. And he's on the worship team, so he's going down this road. And this guy, and I saw this today. I saw this happen almost. So if I'm in Dover and I'm going down, and you know where the Starbucks is in Dover? There's actually a little yield from Starbucks to go on to 74. And I saw this thing happen. This is what Nick happened. So anyway, Nick's driving, let's just say 74. And this guy is supposed to yield to Nick because he's on 74. And he cuts him off. And then he starts giving him all sorts of hand signals. And Nick's like, I'm praying on my way to church. What is this guy almost caused an accident? So, now, by the way, Nick has flesh. Y'all have flesh? I have a living body, I have flesh. Okay, now, what you don't know, this is my friend Nick. He's from Jersey City. You know those Jersey boys, I love it. Okay, and he's from Jersey City, and he has two older brothers, so he knows how to fight. And then he grew up in Jersey City, so he knows how to fight. And then he took boxing, so he knows how to fight. He's thinking about this guy, cut him off. He says, do you know who you just did this to? You know, ready to go at it. Okay, so Nick keeps, this guy's now in front of him, and Nick keeps driving, okay? And Nick's ready to turn off to the big road, the last big road to get to where the church is, and this guy stops, and Nick has to stop. And this guy gets out of his car with a bat, and he runs up, and he smashes the side window off. Okay, that's worse than hand signals, right? Okay, and he jumps back in his car, and Nick's like, what, dear Jesus, happened? Right? Okay? Now, what you have to know, this is my boy Nick from Jersey City. He's got a bat in his car. Because his dad said, you should have a bat, just in case. Oh, no, don't say that. Okay, and Nick's thinking, should I teach this guy a lesson? And he hears the voice of the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit, no. So he gets in his car and he starts driving, okay? And of course, that guy jumps in the car and starts taking off. And Nick's thinking, well, maybe I should just take after him and tell him about Jesus. Okay, and Nick, though, he drives to church, and he gets to church, and he's like, man, somebody just whacked my mirror off, and I'm supposed to go in and praise the Lord now. I'm on the worship team. You think you had a rough morning getting here, right? Okay, so here's the thing. There's a part of Nick that had to surrender to the Lord. And you know, which you don't know, but I know Nick. The part of Nick that he had to surrender is Nick loved a good fight. Sorry, my friend Nick. Okay. But, you know, so guys, there's times that you need to surrender to God some things. Okay? Because really, what Nick wanted to do, sometimes what you want to do, it's not going to be a God thing. Right? It's not going to be God. It's not going to be someone go, whoa, I just give glory to God. I just smashed your window. Okay? So that should stay with you. Praise God. Okay, let me think. Where am I here? Whew. So if we really want to surrender to God, there are times you're just going to pull it back and say, amen. Open up to, this is a good one. Isaiah 45. I love this scripture. All right. This is a fun one to do kids ministry. So Isaiah 45, verse 9. Woe to those who quarrel with their maker. Okay? Nick was kind of doing this quarreling argument with God. Bat, no bat. Okay? So woe to those who quarrel with their maker. All right? This is Old Testament. God is talking about people. Old Testament people, the children of Israel, his chosen people. Whoa, because they're arguing. You don't argue with God, do you? All right, so they're kind of, no, none of us has ever done that, okay? Okay, so keep reading. Those who are not nothing but potsherds, which means broken pottery. I should have got an easier translation, okay? Among the potsherds on the ground. That means the pottery broken, it's all over the ground, okay? And does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? We got a generation that's saying, God made me this way, right? Okay? And listen, when y'all do that, not us, them all, when people do that, they are actually opposite of what God's word says. They're saying something. They'll say God said. No, God doesn't say opposite of what his word said. Okay, and they're trying to pull opposite of what God's word said. Okay, and God's word says, ready? God made man, God made woman, all right? God said that. I didn't say that. And people say, oh, Pastor D, you know, you shouldn't be saying that in church. I really don't care. I'm just telling you what God said, right? God said, okay? So God made man, God made woman, all right? And then the Bible says, after he made the man and the woman, he said, what are they to do? In Genesis, he says they're supposed to leave their mom and dad and go be joined, okay? And that word in the Greek, the best description is superglued, okay? That's what God says, all right? So, just without getting too deep in that, because you all got it. Whoa, if you're arguing with the maker, we ought not argue with him. I've had some arguments with him, okay? But don't do that. Don't argue with him. Okay, you all with me? Okay, worship. We're going to touch about this one here, worship a little bit. So I come up front and I love to worship. I'm on the front because I get distracted in the back. And I get to watch you all worship because a bunch of you come up front. And then I'm going to let you in on my big secret. See this drum cage here? The plexiglass? I can see y'all. I see when you come in at 11:15. Just saying. Okay, but I see you worshiping, all right? And I'm going to look at the ceiling now, okay? So, sometimes I see this in worship. I see people doing this. Doesn't mean every song, okay? Today, nailed it, okay? So what it is a surrender. When I lift my hands in worship, I'm surrendering to God, right? And worship can change you because you just start surrendering. You know, some of you are splat on the floor. I was like, well, there's a surrender going on over there. That's good. Okay. And the tissues are on the front row. Okay. Now, in worship, do not do this. Father God, I love you. I love you. Change my wife. Father God, I love you. I love you. Change her right now. Change her. Okay. Don't do that in worship. Just surrender yourself. Okay. Okay. And, you know, and when I'm in worship, I probably tell all my worship teams, most of the time I have my eyes closed if I know the song. So it's not, and I'm just singing my heart out. And don't stand next to me. I really do not sing terrific, okay? I think it sounds great, but I am so off tune. And I'm just singing, and I've got my hands up and just singing. And sometimes when I'm in worship, I'll say, Father God, and my hands up, Father, change me in your presence. Whoosh. That's usually splat on the ground. But Lord, just change me in your presence. That's a great thing to do in worship. And I'll tell you, I'm surrendering. Amen. Amen. Okay, another scripture. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Now, how many of you have ever read the Amplified Bible? They call it the girly Bible because it's so amplified with words, okay? This one beats it, okay? I'm going to read out of a translation because they had three words that just go right in there. It's from the Expanded Bible, okay, the EXB, just warning you, all right? Pastor D, what did you pick here? All righty, here we go. Our faces then are not covered. Thank you, Jesus. I get to come in the presence of God. I'm not covered, okay? With unveiled faces, we all show, reflect, or behold, or contemplate the Lord's glory, and we are being changed. Everybody say changed. That's that metamorphosis word again, okay? Transformed, okay? In the presence of God, man, whoosh, all right? We're being changed. Praise God. Changed to be like him. So God wants you to be a copycat. I don't know if you have sisters, okay? My sister would wear the same thing. You can't wear that. You can't copy me, right? Anybody do that? Yeah? Okay. This one, you're allowed to be a copycat. He wants you to be changed like Jesus. There were more fights in my house growing up. It was so fun. Okay. All right, here we go. He wants you to look like him. Okay, where am I reading? This change in us brings ever greater glory, or is from one degree of glory to another. It is from glory to glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Okay. So when you and I start having transformation in our life, it changes everything, all right? It changes everything. Everybody say it changes. Me. Okay. I am a different person than I was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and if you go way back, I am different, okay? I am a different person, and I would not be up here 40 years ago, all right? I am different. So if you're taking notes, here's another one. A transformed life is marked by willingness to surrender. Okay? So the day when my kids were little and we decided we're going to do Play-Doh, I controlled it. We had a gate, Michael, that goes from the hallway to the dining room. You are caged in the kitchen. It also meant we were washing the floor that night, okay? All right? But so I did control that. But there are times that I didn't control things and I could tell my kids, okay, we're going to do this, this, and this. And they weren't too willing. This didn't go, it wasn't nice, it wasn't pretty. But listen, transformation, when you're willing to just God your will, all right? Whoo, just give me goosebumps, all right? Whoo, okay, so transformation is marked by a willingness to surrender. So here's the question. What does surrender look like? Pastor D, you're talking about it. What does it look like? Okay, let me give you three things. Surrender to God, this is what it could look like. Well, this is what it does look. It's called letting go. I kind of touched on this, control. Okay? And trusting God's plans. Okay? So if you had to take a test or someone sat down next to you that happened to be your husband or your wife, and they would say, oh, yeah, they like to control. They like to be the one that controls. Okay? Don't raise your hand. I did. Okay? So surrendered life is letting go of the control and trusting God. You know, right away I think about oh, we're doing great. Lord, I think about Abraham. God said, go. Leave your family, leave your country. And me would be like, I want to know how long it's going to take. I want to know how many hotels are going to be there. I want to know what is the crops that we're going to be growing. I want to know everything because I want to control. And Abraham just let go and he went. Okay? Everybody say, let go. Trust God. Woo! Okay, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This one we should make a song out of. Probably even know it, all right? Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path, okay? So we have to let go, and we have to let God and trust him, okay? And sometimes it is so uncomfortable to do that, okay? That's okay. Sometimes it's uncomfortable, but let God, let God do it, all right? So surrendering to God, what does it look like? So following God's, here's the second one. Following God's will instead of our own. Following God's will instead of our own. Following God's will instead of our own. Here's something you can write down. A surrendered heart is laying down our own agenda. I write agendas every morning. Okay? But so I want to give you something Jesus prayed, and it's just amazing. It's found in Luke chapter 22. Okay, Jesus prays this. Luke chapter 22, verse 40. Jesus is on his way to the garden, right? Luke chapter 24, verse 40. When he came to the place, he said to them, his disciples, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. So he's over there. And he knelt down and he prayed, saying, ready? Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. So I kind of read this backwards and I thought, he's saying, okay, God, if it's your will, but I don't want to go. Take it away from me. What? Jesus, the magnificent one, said, I don't want to go. Yeah, but keep reading, because look what he says next. Ready? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Right? Not my will, but your will. This has been my prayer for years. Pretty much pray it all the time. They're going to pop it on the screen. And I'll pray this. Father, not my will. But your will be done in my life. Not my plans, not my pursuits, not my purposes. So pretty much every single day, I will say, Father, I don't want to do my will, I want to do your will. I don't want to do my plans, I want to do your plans. I don't want to do my pursuits. And by the way, let me say, if you've got too much on your plate and you feel overwhelmed in life and frantic and frustrated, you might have some things on your plate that God doesn't want. They're not his plans, they're not his purposes. And you get to ask him that, okay? All right? So I'll pray this. Father, not my will, but your will. Amen? Listen, you pray that 30 days. Let's take the challenge. 30 days and you will be changed. Come and tell me. Tell me about the changes in your life, okay? All right, so surrendering to God means letting go of the control and trusting God. It also means following God's will instead of your own. And here's the last one, making God the center of your life. Making God the center of your life, all right? So what it means is all the priorities that I have in my life. Anybody got some priorities in your life? I follow you around a day. You got a lot of priorities in your life. But all those priorities in your life, what that means is our secondary priorities to my relationship with him, okay? My relationship with him. The most important thing is my relationship with him. The most important thing in your life should be your relationship with him. Everybody say, he's first. Amen. So then this is when I usually make fun of Sherry, but now that she has a little baby, but Sherry is not used to be not a morning person, but I'd go, early in the morning I will rise up and I will seek you and I will meditate and read the word. And she's like, no, mama. Okay, but now Zeke goes early in the morning and so we're up and rolling, okay? Yeah, but that's part of my relationship. That's my priority in my life. I can't remember last time I didn't do that. I just, my priority in my life. Yeah, when I had little kids. So funny. Okay, all right. So we're sitting in church and listening to this. So what you should be asking me, so Pastor D, what are the benefits if I surrender my life? How many would like to know the benefits? Like I was reading this concoction that you're supposed to drink, okay? And I want to know the benefits. And they better be good because the thing costs a lot of money, okay? All right. So you what are the benefits, all righty? Now, so these benefits will help you in surrender, okay? But I have to say this. The day I surrendered or gave my life to Jesus, I surrendered my life with Jesus. The day I asked Jesus into my life, I surrendered my life to Jesus. And, okay, but, more like but, everybody said but, I have to surrender every single day. You have to surrender to him every single day, right? And you know when you haven't, but I like to say I have to surrender every day. Now, matter of fact, funny thing about surrendering is sometimes you have feelings that are just opposite of what God says. Anybody have feelings opposite of what God says? Like I remember that when I read this, you are an overcomer. I was like, I don't feel like that today. This has been a rough day. Okay, or I read, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I read that and I'm like, I don't feel like I can even overcome nothing. Okay, I don't feel, all right? So you're going to have feelings that are opposite to the Word of God. So what do? Ditch your feelings and do it, okay? Anybody else, like, you read something in the Bible, since we have a few empty chairs, forsake not the gathering together. Oh, I don't feel like getting up this morning. We want to have French toast. I don't feel like going. I have feelings for French toast. Sometimes your feelings are opposite of what God says, okay? But I will tell you, eventually, if you keep putting God's word in your mind, just keep doing it every day. Some days I have to do it a couple times a day. Okay, it's one of those days. Okay, eventually, you know, when I keep doing it, eventually I start speaking it. And then, miraculous, I start believing it. So when it says I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, it's not that I get to do it. He empowers me to do the things I'm going, God, I don't know what I'm doing. All right? Shoot. All righty. So benefits, here we go. Number one, if you're taking notes, benefits of surrendering to God. You'll have peace and reduced anxiety in your life when you start letting things go. All right? Raise your hand if you want some more peace in your life. Okay. Oh, go live in a cave, right? No, I'm only kidding. But, you know, more peace in your life and reducing anxiety in your life is when I just start letting go of stuff. I'm like, if I could change it, I would have changed it. I can't change it, so I'm just going to let it go, and I'm going to pray and let God be God, all right? So you all know this, Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. Woo! He said, don't be anxious for nothing or anything, all right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and here we go. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love that. All right, second benefit of surrendering to God. Second benefit, he will give you guidance and purpose for the path of life he's mapped out for you. He will give you guidance and even purpose, all right? So there's a lot of scriptures, especially written by in the epistles by Paul, it says about being led by God. Everybody say, I'm led by God. So it really says, I'm led by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the Holy Spirit's, okay, and I have to surrender and yield to his leading, okay? Some days I'm like, shh, go away. Okay? It's better to yield to the Holy Spirit. Here's a good scripture for that. Romans 8. 14, 15, 16, 17. I'm not going to read all of that, but go read all of that in context, okay? It's just a really good one. Romans 8, here we go. Romans 8, I'm going to just read verse 14 right now, okay? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Another translation says, the sons and daughter of God are led by the Holy Spirit. Anybody a son or daughter of God? Then you say, I'm led by the Holy Spirit. I'm listening to him. I'm surrendering to him, okay? Because I am a son or a daughter of the Holy Spirit, right? Jump down to verse 16 now. Here we go. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Say, I'm a child of God. I am something. I'm a child of God, all right? I'm a child of God, children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. All right. This is the crazy part. Religion just gets its feathers all bent out of shape, okay? When it says that we are joined to God or joint heirs, do you know what that really means in the Greek? Ready? Co-equal. You are co-equal with Jesus. My brain goes, tilt. What? Tilt. Okay? I just get your head in there, all right? Jesus says, or Paul says, the Word of God says, right, that you are now co-equal with Jesus. You ought to be sitting up straight. Whew, man, right? All righty. Why? Ephesians 2, because I have been raised up together with him, seated in the heavenly places. Okay? When I asked Jesus Christ in my life, he raised me up with him. I'm not squished on the floor. I am seated high in the heavenly places together with him. I am a co-equal with him. That's what God says. I don't always feel it, but some days I just remind myself, looking good, girl, right? All right? So being co-equal means there's a position of surrender. I'm surrender. It's really a position of surrender my heart. Gosh. Ooh, my heart. And then seated in the heavenlies, okay? You know, people say, oh, I'm so beat down. I'm not. I'm seated high in the heavenlies. Everybody say, I'm seated high in the heavenlies. I'm not beat down. I'm beating down the devil. Forget that, okay? So I'm seated high in the heavenlies, okay? He placed you as a Christian, seated high together with him as co-equal. Just go think on that. Make it a post-it note, and you'll just have a great week, all right? All right, last one, okay? So we first two, peace and reduced anxiety when we let go of things. Second one, guidance and purpose for your life's past. And the last one, release past hurts and future fears. All right. Anybody here have some past hurts? I got a few. All right? Okay. And you know what? Sometimes what we'll say is, I'm good. I'm okay. No problem with the past hurt. I'm fine. Anybody ever say that? Say that, yeah, okay. So the thing is, you may have some past hurts, but there's something you got to do with them. There's something you got to do with them. Listen, I don't know how you can live a whole day without having a hurt some days, right? Your boss, your coworker, not your spouse, right? Okay, and you can get take on these hurts, okay? But there's something you have to do, all right? Here's what you have to do. It's really what you can't get. You have to stop rehearsing it. Guilty. I've done this. And it wasn't until, yeah. So anyway, I know this. I'm working on it. Okay. You can't rehearse. So anybody know some really sweet people that just rehearse really well about what somebody hurt them 20 years ago? And then they come and they go, I just want you to know that today I forgave Uncle Henry. Uncle Henry's been dead 10 years. And you have been rehearsing it, okay? So, by the way, if Uncle Henry went to heaven, he don't care. And typically speaking, the hurt that you carry from someone else, they don't even know. Unless you told them, send them a letter, post it on Facebook. It helps you to release it. It helps you. It helps you to release it and let it go. Forgiveness is I release it, I let it go. Forgiveness is I release the guilty party as though they are innocent. I know. Some of them I'm working on, all right? I'm doing this, okay? Okay. Now, when you forgive and let it go, it doesn't mean that you have to hang out with that person, especially when I hear stories of coming out of abusive situations. Your job is to forgive them and release them, okay? You don't have to have them in your world, okay? Forgive them, release them. Okay, last scripture, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Get your toes ready. You just stepped on. This is a goodie. Ready? Colossians 3, verse 13. Make allowances for each other's faults. Do you know anybody that has faults? Do not point to them. Do you have any faults? Point to yourself, okay? Alrighty, here we go. All right, and you know, here's the amazing thing. We see everybody's faults, but we never see ours. Okay, there's a cool scripture in the Gospels about that, okay? Okay, so here's what Paul says. Keep reading. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Anybody have anybody that offended you? I swear every Sunday I offend somebody. I know, and it's even in the Bible. It talks about if you be preachers, watch out, you will offend many. I was like, what? I didn't mean it like that. Okay. All right. So we offend many, all right? Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must, everybody say must, forgive others. All right. So in closing, we're talking about surrendering, how to live a surrendered life, okay? And right now we're talking about forgiving people. Ready? Forgive, release, okay? All right? Why do I want to forgive them? Because if I don't forgive them, there's this like poison operating in me. And then, I don't know, this nature, human nature, we like to spread it, okay? Knock it off. It's time to stop. Release people, forgive them, let them go. Amen? All right, I'd like to pray for everybody. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes, okay? Now, this is the surrender part, okay? We've been talking about forgiveness, but just think of the Holy Spirit, you know, are there areas in your life that you've been, Holy Spirit's going, okay, that you need to surrender. Control, whatever, okay? Is there any areas in your life that you need to surrender? All right. Father, we ask that you help us today, right now, to surrender all of our lives to you. Because, you know, you can have some areas surrendered and others you don't. So, Father, I ask you right now to help us surrender all these areas to you. We pray that we will surrender our lives to you in every realm. For you are the potter and we are the clay. So we surrender right now these areas to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Okay, I have one more thing, because it is not even 12 o'clock, y'all. Could be the first one at OK Corral. They don't even have that anymore. Okay.